10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Hey folks, it's Monday, June 22nd, and you're listening to episode 20 of the Beyond the Handle podcast. I'm your host, Alan. On Twitter, I'm known as Slip, Slip with five eyes, or Slip. On today's show, I speak to David Sonnenschein. David is known as Kopi Zero on Twitter, K-O-P-I-E-Z-E-R-O. He is a big fan of the city of Winnipeg and has a lot of photos, especially over on Instagram, that you should take a look at. They're beautiful photos, really shows the beauty that is in Winnipeg, and there is definitely some of it to be had. We talk about his avid fandom of the Winnipeg Fringe Festival, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. We talk about vinyl, as David has gotten into collecting vinyl. We talk about the $10 business challenge, which is something that David has created. And he's going to talk about his own experience as well as experiences of others who have participated in the challenge. And we talk about growing up in Germany, as David spent most of his youth overseas growing up in Germany during a very interesting time. So check it out. It was a good conversation, and I think you'll enjoy it. Last couple of weeks, episodes 18 and 19, I spoke to my pal Poops McKenzie. If you haven't heard those shows, you should check them out as well. And Poops and I actually spun off into another podcast. Yeah, more of me. I know that's exactly what you're not asking for. But if you want to check it out, Poops and I have a podcast called The Mezzanine Sleepover, which you can find on iTunes. Just do a search for Mezzanine Sleepover and you'll find it there. Anyways, enough about me. Let's get into my conversation with David Sonnenschein, known as Kopi Zero on Twitter, here on Beyond the Handle. All right, it's episode 20 of the Beyond the Handle podcast, and once again, I have a really great guest here in the studio. I was very excited to meet you a few minutes ago when you got here. This is David Sonnenschein.
Yeah, that's right.
Have to practice that a few times. It's German, is that right?
It is German, yeah.
It is German. On Twitter, known as at Kopi Zero.
Correct.
And again, I'm saying that properly.
No, that's right.
Yes. welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
On the show, the very first question I like to ask people is, what is the story behind the Twitter handle, Kopi Zero?
Okay. Kopi Zero is actually my second account. My first choice was taken by myself, so I had to come up with something else. And basically, it's set up, or it's like Kopi, which is the German word for copy.
Okay.
And Zero being zero, obviously. In my mind, it's just... which comes before the first copy, so the original.
The original copy?
Yeah.
What was the original handle?
It's DYS167, DYS167. That account is actually still around. I haven't deactivated it yet, but it will happen.
what was the decision behind that name?
I have used that name since I was like 17, 18, when I tried to be a writer, and I would use that as my pen name, actually.
Okay.
So there's a story behind it, but it's really long and ultimately very boring.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay. What made you decide to switch the handles up?
It's just I had a bit of overlap between the two accounts, actually. So I needed to come up with a second name, and Kopi Zero seemed like a good choice. It used to be the name of my website back when I was in my mid-20s.
Okay.
So that seemed like a good choice, because I wanted that second account to be about me, more about me and Winnipeg and things that I was interested in, whereas the first account was just a joke account. I would make random jokes.
You know? Okay. Hey, so this account, this Kopi Zero account that you have at this point,
There are two hashtags that I've noticed the most from you, and you've cited them here. One is Winnipeg Vinyl, hashtag mm-hmm. WPGVINYL, and the second one is hashtag Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So I've seen lots of photography, and actually some photography that I'm doing the same of whenever I get my hands on an LP, try to snap a photo of it, especially on the turntable.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that you've become a big vinyl collector and vinyl fan.
Yeah, but actually just started 2 years ago. With Twitter, actually, a friend of mine had an extra copy of a Minor Threat record, like a 2-EP collection. So he said whoever would respond to that tweet first would get the free copy.
Okay.
So since I live on social media, I was, of course, first to respond, and I got it, and then realized, well, I need a turntable now. And once you have the turntable, it's really hard to stop buying new records.
Mm-hmm.
So I have amassed quite a big collection since that, I would say in the last 2 years now.
And where do you do most of your searching?
Originally, and I still do to some extent, at thrift stores, used record stores. I think at the beginning, like when you first start out, you're not very picky, right? You just take whatever sounds familiar, like, oh yeah, I do need that Phil Collins record from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever comes your way, you just grab.
Those are usually about $2, by the way.
Yes, exactly. So I have a lot of those. I would say the last year or so, I've been buying more recent releases or more interesting used releases, usually at Music Trade or one of our other stores here.
So it's kind of started off as, again, like just the thriftiest of the thrifty, and now you're getting into the quote-unquote cool records.
Pretty much, yeah. I did, like, especially in the beginning, like, you come across these really cool records every now and then, like, from the 80s, these really obscure records. I still like going to thrift stores. It's just really hard to find those little treasures nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But I still do that, but I do prefer the more trendy, more recent releases, I guess.
What's kind of the... I guess give me a couple of finds that you found where you're like, the moment you saw it, you were like, yes, yes.
Ooh. Actually, I found a German record a few months ago by a band called Trio. Most people may know them for like Da 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 Da.
Yeah.
I bought it because I thought it would be kind of funny to have Da 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 on record. But it turns out it's a really great record. It's like early 80s, new wavy, punkish type mm-hmm. stuff, which I wasn't expecting at all. So I've listened to that and still listen to it quite a bit. Other than that, I can't really think of too many that jump out right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you have you shopped outside of Winnipeg for vinyl so far?
No, I haven't. This is my second attempt at collecting mm-hmm. vinyl. I started in Germany, like I grew up in Germany. And so I had quite the 80s collection. Like I loved Depeche Mode, The Cure, that kind of stuff. And then when I moved to Canada, I had to leave that behind, and so I started over now, but it's all just Winnipeg based.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you, when you say leave it behind, did you sell it, or do you know where it is?
I did sell it, and I sold it for some really ridiculous price. I'm still kicking myself. It's like some of those pieces now, I don't even know how much it would be worth now, but I sold them for next to nothing.
I had a run with vinyl too, probably about 15, maybe actually closer to 20 years ago in collecting, and the LPs I ended up dumping off. I kept most of the 45s in storage for years and then dug them out, but some of the stuff that I sold I had to kind of recollect.
That's too bad, right? Because I guess we all figured, well, CD is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
CD is here to stay, and vinyl is done with. And I guess you just kind of forget the charm and like everything that comes with vinyl for convenience sake. You just plop the CD in there and you play it, and it's easy. But you kind of lose a lot that vinyl has to offer. And I guess I at least didn't appreciate it at the time, like my first time around. I do now the second time around.
And you said it's your favorite way to listen to music at this point?
Absolutely. I don't really download or buy CDs anymore. I did until I started collecting records. And it's just something like you're trying to find a record, so you're flipping through.
your collection, and then you take the sleeve out, and you feel the record in your hand, you plop it on the turntable, you take the needle, you place it, and you hear the crackling. It's just the whole experience, and you don't get that with any other way of listening to music.
It is certainly not as convenient, but I agree with you. What I like is that I got into digital music, and that's mainly how I listen to it, but I like having something physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't like just paying the $10 and having something download to my computer. And I like, what I like about the vinyl is that you got this big piece of art and, mm-hmm. you know, big piece of whatever's inside, like the media and the sleeve and everything in there is just like, it's a nice big physical copy. So I didn't really switch from any other method to vinyl. I switched from CDs to vinyl.
Okay.
Because I was buying the CDs, but I wasn't listening to them on CD either. I was listening to them on on digital too.
Yeah.
So figured I'd make the jump to vinyl.
I mean, it's easier, of course, to like just download or stream music. It's a great way to discover new music without going out and spending like $20 to $30 on a record that could be hit or miss, right? So, I mean, it has benefits too. But yeah, overall, it's vinyl for me now.
So you were born in Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you go from Brandon to Germany?
I did. Yeah, I was 7 when we moved to Germany.
And how many years did you live in Germany?
About 15.
15?
Yeah.
What years were you?
Well, now you're dating me. That's like...
Oh, well. As much to get your age. I'm more interested in the era of German history than
you. We moved there when I was... in 1983.
83.
And I moved back in 98, I guess it would have been.
So you were there, the Berlin Wall...
Yes.
Not the Berlin Wall that they've said is at Portage in Maine here in Winnipeg. I don't know if you heard that.
No, I haven't.
Recently, where... one of our city councilors said that the not allowing pedestrians to cross at Portage was a Berlin Wall.
The metaphorical. Yeah. Yes, I heard about that one. I was hoping for some actual piece of
Berlin Wall. No, not that impressive. But you were actually, you know, there for that period of time.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this is, you know, during your childhood,
mm-hmm.
but personally, I'm still curious. Is there anything that you remember about kind of that period of time?
David Hasselhoff on the wall singing Looking for Freedom, I guess. I do remember this was a school trip when I was in grade 11, I think. And we went to Berlin. Now, I grew up in like Western Germany, close to the Dutch border. Close to Cologne, that area.
Okay.
But we went to Berlin, and we had to drive. This was after the wall had come down. And I remember driving to Berlin in our buses, and the second you came to what used to be East Germany, you could tell this was a different country, almost. Mm-hmm. Like, the infrastructure was... in worse shape than anything I'd ever seen anywhere in where I'd grown up.
Mm-hmm.
You could still see where the wall used to go if they hadn't decided to keep it for historic reasons. But yeah, there was a huge, huge difference between the two parts.
Did you have friends or anybody that you knew on the other side over time? No,
I didn't, no.
Even after it came down, was there anybody?
Even after, no. I just had my family and friends in my part of Germany. And
in West Germany, like before the wall fell, was it something that you even noticed, or like just day to day life?
No, I wouldn't have. I'm sure that on the other side, it would have been a different story. Mm-hmm. But growing up, like you said, like you're a child, you're a teenager. You just take it for granted. You don't really pay attention to that thing.
Okay. What do you remember about just growing up in Germany in general?
I grew up actually with my grandparents. Like, I would kind of go back and forth between my parents and my grandparents. I'd stay with my grandparents during the week and my parents on weekends. Remember going to school. The first couple of years were kind of rough because I didn't speak German when we first moved to Germany. I picked it up fast, but you always kind of had that bit of outsider
feel or air around you.
Yeah. So you speak fluent German?
I do. It's getting a little rusty now. Uh-huh. I still read German newspapers every day.
Okay.
I follow German soccer, so I read about my team. But yeah, I read and understand it perfectly. It's just speaking. It's gotten a little rusty over the years.
Any other languages that you picked up?
No. I took French in high school, Latin for 4 years, Spanish for two, but I don't remember a whole lot.
What brought you back to Winnipeg?
My parents had moved back, well, my family, my parents and two sisters, had moved back to Canada in 92, I think, and I stayed with my grandparents for another 3 or 4 years. And after I was done high school and had to do my year of Red Cross work, I decided to come and just be with my family again.
And that was back here in Winnipeg? Or?
It was, well, my parents at the time lived in Dauphin. So I stayed with them for, I think, 9 months or so before coming to the, I went to the U of M here. So.
Okay. Okay. You are, I guess an avid photographer? Would you describe yourself as that? I mean, I see photography all the time.
But. Yeah, I take a lot of pictures. I would say that I'm not a photographer. I just have my camera, like my phone camera, which I use. And I do love taking pictures. That's something I discovered when I started my Instagram account, which over the years now, or 2 years, I think, has morphed into me just trying to take pictures of Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg's a beautiful city, and I kind of try and show that with my pictures. I wouldn't call myself a photographer, though.
But you, I mean, we haven't actually talked a lot about Instagram on this show, which is funny because it's obviously a major social media platform. But was it prior to going to Instagram that you were taking these photos and wanted to find somewhere to take them, or was it joining Instagram that kind of encouraged you to?
It was joining Instagram that made me do that. I'm not even sure why I joined Instagram, because I didn't know anyone on Instagram at the time. And at first, kind of like Twitter too, I didn't quite get the point of it, because unless you are communicating with people, it's just you putting your pictures on the web, and you get the odd person stumbling across it every now and then. But then as you meet other people, like through social media, you start to develop interests, and you connect with them and try and communicate with them about what, I guess, is important to you, in this case, Winnipeg and vinyl, I guess.
What are your favorite things to photograph around the city?
Nothing in particular. I like the Exchange. I think it's a really beautiful part of town. I think they're doing a really great job of integrating new buildings and new construction into our really old and beautiful architecture that we still have abundantly in that part of town. So I like kind of taking pictures which show that part of Winnipeg, kind of the forgotten part of Winnipeg. You'll see like a lot of back lane shots, because I find you still see that old part of town that's not been plastered over or hidden away. You still see like Winnipeg's bones, I guess.
Are you a fan of like learning the history of the city too, or do you just like to imagine?
I think maybe coming from like Germany, Europe, where like every city is really old and has been around for so much longer than our cities here, it's kind of nice seeing that part of our, like a modern or modern North American city. I'm not interested in the history per se, but I'm interested in where we came from, as evidenced in what we still have these days.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Kind of.
Okay.
I mean, you can keep elaborating and if you want, but.
It's just, I like seeing that Winnipeg does have roots, and you can see them if you look around. It's not just a city that kind of happened overnight. You can still see traces of the past, and I kind of like that.
Are you into, like, finding vintage photographs of the city?
No, I do see some every now and then, and I'm just amazed and blown away by what transition Winnipeg's gone through. But it is fascinating for sure, seeing like some really old photographs and even like recognizing some of the buildings that are still around.
I can't believe we used to have streetcars.
I know.
It's a big one here.
I know. And it's kind of funny because that came up too, like during the last mayoral election, that as one option, I guess, to get around town. So I wouldn't mind seeing them. I'm not sure how practical they would be, but it would be kind of cool.
Yeah, just imagine riding a trolley car up and down Portage Avenue. It's just kind of blows my mind.
I know.
Yeah, even stuff like from that's not terribly old, but I can remember from when I was younger, like the old Eaton's building and, you know, whatever was around Portage Place before it was Portage Place. Just like, you know, seeing photographs from like the 70s and stuff like that still kind of blow my mind too, like in my lifetime, but still... You know, the change that's happened in the city is pretty unbelievable.
Well, especially if you like talking about like the Eaton's building, like my memories of the Eaton's building are Eaton's kind of shutting down and then that building being deserted for a time being before being, it was demolished, right? That's where
they took it down to where MTS Center is.
Yeah. So seeing that, like those pictures in the past when it was still like a happening place, a big, strong
business. Big red building.
Yeah. And, it's like, it's sad, but also kind of exciting to see something go and then something come in its place.
I'm glad it's not a parking lot, I can tell you that much.
I think we have quite a few of those. We're good.
Where can we go on Instagram to find the photography that you've done?
Same handle, Kopizero.
At Kopizero. That's KOPIEZERO. Talking about Winnipeg, aside from things that you photograph, do you still keep in touch with people back in Germany?
I do kind of sporadically. Like I said, I still read German newspapers. So if I have a question or so, I will ask them. But it's not as much as it used to be. I think it's kind of the same way with anyone. Like once you're done high school, you just kind of go your own way and kind of drift apart, right?
If you were to describe to anybody from home things about Winnipeg, like what kind of city it is and the things that you love about Winnipeg, what are some of the things that you think you'd highlight?
The people. I remember the first time I took the bus after moving to Winnipeg, this gentleman sitting next to me just started talking to me. I can't remember what he was saying.
But he wasn't asking you for change, was he?
Probably. And he took it. He got it. I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. I wasn't used to that from Germany. Like, you sit on the bus and you just kind of look ahead. You just don't talk to people. And I think that's something I've come to enjoy the most about Winnipeg. I think the people here are just really, really great. We have a really great... creative and artistic community as well. I think it kind of shows.
All right, let's take a little break from the interview to go through some housekeeping items and give you some information about this show. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can look us up at Beyond the Handle is the handle for the show. So definitely give us a follow there. We are on Facebook. Do a search for Beyond the Handle and we will pop right up there for you. If you are not listening to this show via iTunes or Stitcher, you can go to each of those platforms and subscribe to the show. Again, just go in and search for Beyond the Handle. We will pop up there for you. Click on subscribe and the new episodes will download to your device every week as soon as they are posted, which is nice, easy, and convenient. Of course, if you just want to hear a stream of a specific episode, you can also go to beyondthehandle.podomatic.com and you can find the show right there and listen to any episode that you would like to hear. If you'd like to email me and give me some feedback, recommend a guest, or if you'd like to be a guest yourself, I'd love to hear from you. The email address is beyondthehandle@gmail.com And again, any feedback via Twitter or via email is very much appreciated. We are a part of the Garbage Hill Network of podcasts. This is Winnipeg's first podcast network and features a number of local podcasts from around the city of Winnipeg. You can give them a follow at Garbage Hill on Twitter, and their website is www.garbagehillnetwork.com. So with all that being said, let's get back into the interview. This is David Sonnenschein, known as at Kopi Zero on Twitter, here on Beyond the Handle.
And you specifically referenced The Fringe.
I love The Fringe. It's my Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
I always book off at least a week. It's like 12 days. And this time I've booked off the full 12 days.
Okay. I have a colleague that does the same thing.
Yeah.
She books off the entire Fringe from work, and all day and all evening is out fringing.
Yeah.
So you're the same?
Pretty much. Except I'm not really that extreme when it comes to watching shows. Like, okay, I still watch quite a few. But you hear people who end up watching like 50, 60 shows over like 12 days. And it's
a little much.
A little much. I think at some point it would stop being fun, and it's just watching shows for the point, like for the sake of watching shows.
Yeah. It's almost like it's work.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Whereas I like to just kind of show up at Old Market Square at some point of the day and then pick a couple shows that I want to watch. But a big part of the Fringe is also just hanging out at Old Market Square, hanging out in the beer garden, go check out the vendors there.
What are you aware of some of the shows that are going to be on this year yet?
No, the program comes out on Monday, in 3 days. So I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Anything from the past couple of years that's really like stood out as Fringe shows that you've enjoyed?
There are a couple of shows performers that I try and watch every year. Mm-hmm. I think most notably would be Crumbs. Okay. I love Crumbs, but they perform in Winnipeg throughout the year too, so you can watch them here too. But kind of watching them at the Fringe is kind of a big deal, really exciting.
Is it improv?
It's improv, yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I was never really into improv all that much before Crumbs. I only knew like Whose Line Is It Anyway, which is kind of funny, but so when a friend of mine tried to convince me to go see Crumbs, I was like, well, I guess I can go. So I watched them, I think, 2 years ago for the first time ever. And I was just blown away that they can take like a few suggestions and tell like an hour long story. It's just amazing. It blows me away every time. Another performer is Shelby Bond.
Okay.
I think I've seen him for the last 4 years now, which is a great thing about The Fringe, because I'd never heard of Shelby Bond before. And 4 years ago, I think it was, I was just walking around the Exchange trying to pick a show, and I saw a lineup for his show. And I just inquired like who was performing then, so Shelby Bond, and then one person in line started talking about, oh, he'd seen Shelby Bond before. And I think that's one thing I really enjoy about The Fringe, that you exchange or share your stories. Mm-hmm. So I watched Shelby Bond, and a really funny performer.
Mm-hmm.
He did stand up the first couple times that I've seen him, and then 2 years ago did a still funny, but dramedy, I guess you'd call it. And then last year he did One Man Back to the Future, which was awesome.
I was about to ask you to kind of describe for the uneducated, including me, who Shelby Bond is, but I saw One Man Back to the Future.
One Man Back to the Future was very different from what I'd seen in the past, like of his past shows. But did you like it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, as a Back to the Future like fanatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anything Back to the Future is probably going to win with me, but he did a good job with it for sure.
It was great, like just seeing him play, like act out the entire movie in half, like in an hour.
An hour,
right? Yeah. So that was pretty impressive.
I liked my favorite scene when he he is Marty getting chased by Biff and his stooges. And so he's got him on the skateboard.
Yeah.
And he's got someone in the audience with the remote control truck chasing him around the stage. Yeah. Yeah. That was a great part. Yeah. What I actually liked about that show, too, was that, you know, you could tell that he prepared it, but he was kind of still kind of shooting the shit
with
when he was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was a great show.
It was. Yeah. It was really, really entertaining. Like I said, very different from what he'd done in the past, but I really enjoyed it.
So do you typically drift towards like more comedic stuff, or do you like drama or music or magic?
I do. Yeah, I prefer funny shows, I'd say. I still try and watch like more serious or dramatic pieces. Last year I watched Nashville Hurricane, which people loved, and I can see why. It was a really good show. He also had a second show, I can't remember what it was called though, which was funny though. But yeah, like I gravitate more towards funny shows.
I've only done The Fringe probably for the last 3 or 4 years, and last year was the first one where I really like tried to get to you know, at least like 8 or 9 shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm certainly starting to catch on big time with me too. Dude. Maybe not necessarily Christmas yet, but maybe an Easter long weekend. It's getting there for me, so.
Well, it's still pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, no, it's good, and it's one of the things in the city definitely that is really impressive for Winnipeg. I was in Montreal 4 years ago, and my colleague who was the big fringer here in Winnipeg, she was in Montreal working as well. So we decided to check out the Montreal Fringe. And for everything that Montreal has, it's fabulous. The Fringe doesn't even come close to what we have here in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I keep hearing that we have like a really impressive like the Fringe itself, but also the audience gets really into it, which I have seen. I can't compare it to any other city, but it's amazing like how Winnipeg has embraced the Fringe Festival.
Would you ever consider doing the two that I hear of outside of Winnipeg the most are the Edmonton Fringe and the Edinburgh Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever consider going to any of those ones?
I would. I think that would be a great way to discover a city.
Mm-hmm.
Just wander around. I would assume that the setup would be similar to the Winnipeg Fringe, that you have different venues and you can just kind of walk between them and check out shows. I think that would be a great way to discover a city.
Mm-hmm. I actually like when you say discover the city. One of the things I like about the Fringe here, especially when I first started going, is I didn't know that there was so much theater space. Like I'd go into somewhere and be like, holy smokes, there's theater space here.
Yeah.
There's public performance space here. I never imagined that we'd have so much.
Well, and they improvise too a little, right?
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned the Eaton's building. I remember like the last year that was still around, they had a couple of shows in there. And so you had like a makeshift stage and like seating, and it kind of adds to the show too, that you're not sitting in like a traditional theater setting, but, kind of add a bit of immediacy, I'd say, to the show itself.
Mm-hmm. Any other things that you would recommend about the city? People, the Fringe?
The Fringe, the people. We have a lot of things to do in the summertime. We just had Jazz Festival here, which I did not go to see, actually, like nothing, which is kind of a shame. We have Folklorama coming up. I think we just have like a lot of really great small like stores or like little nooks in the downtown area, like Exchange, Osborne, Wolseley, or just Central. There's just so much to see and discover that people really should just take a day and go for a walk.
Try to skip the mall. Come downtown and
see skip the mall. If you want to live, don't go to Portage Place, I guess.
Yeah. Skip Keniston and all that area as well.
Yeah.
Not all the time. It's not the worst place in the world, but there's so much to see outside of that, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you want to get your Christmas shopping done in 2 hours, go to Keniston. but aside from that, take a few days and just check out Winnipeg downtown.
Let's talk about the $10 business challenge.
$10 business challenge, yes.
So I saw this, I've seen this a lot on your Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
You've mentioned it again prior to the show. So what is the $10 business challenge?
$10 business challenge is basically a challenge for artists and crafters or just entrepreneurs in general to take $10 and start a business with it. Obviously, you need more than $10 to start a business. Like business registration, everything that comes in costs a lot more. But the idea was to buy whatever supplies you needed to make whatever it was you wanted to make with $10, create a few things, sell them, and then reinvest whatever money you made to then build or make more items, and then keep growing that until you could actually, like officially register a business.
Was this something that you tried yourself initially?
I did. Actually, it started last year.
Okay.
As the next Donald Trump competition, which was just...
You're going to declare your candidacy for president in the near, future?
I'm glad that I changed the name. hilarious as his speech was. It was yeah, but the next Donald Trump competition was basically just four friends and I taking $10 and then trying to buy and resell things. And then I wanted to do that again because I thought the idea had potential. But rather than just buying and reselling, which is valid, and you can absolutely do that in the $10 business challenge, I thought it would be kind of interesting to see people creating things and see what they would come up with.
Okay.
So that was the idea behind the $10 business challenge as opposed to the next Donald Trump.
So what was your own experience like?
My idea is like called Retie's Necktie Company.
Okay.
So it's basically me taking ties that you would find in a thrift store. And you find these ties that have really vibrant patterns that you wouldn't find these days anymore. The only problem that I always had with them was that they were too wide.
Okay.
So my business is to take these ties and then slim them down, make them look more modern, still giving you like that really one-of-a-kind look because you won't find those patterns anymore.
Yeah.
And just giving them a more contemporary look.
Okay.
So I bought all my equipment because anything you bought or anything you needed to make your items had to be purchased with that $10.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a used iron. Okay. I used a dollar store thread and needle, scissors too. And then I started with two ties. And I actually managed to sell some.
Okay.
CBC Manitoba did a story on the $10 business challenge.
Okay.
So after that, it kind of got the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Through work, like it was my head office that decided to help out a little.
Okay.
Which was great because then I sold my ties and I could reinvest in more ties.
Yeah.
The idea behind the $10 business challenge is to run it for, I think it was 9 months until the end of December. So I haven't really done a whole lot this last month because I've been busy with other things. But I do intend on still getting back into it. And then I have an idea of what I want this business to look like. So it's just a matter of working towards it now.
Okay. Is there anywhere right now where people can go to see the product or purchase the product, or do they contact you directly? Or
they can contact me directly. You can also go to the website, the $10businesschallenge.com.
Okay.
We'll
post it on the show notes too.
Great.
For people. Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a Twitter account for Retie's, which you can find on my CopyZero, I believe.
Okay.
But there will be a website coming. The only problem is I need to sell some ties before I can then reinvest the money in a website and packaging. So it'll happen, though.
Okay. And you said there are others that are participating in this, too?
Yes, there were about 16. Not all of them actually followed through.
Okay.
A lot of them registered and had business ideas. Some of them really out there. but all very exciting. Mm-hmm. But some of them are actually still working at it. One is called Dahlia Henna.
Okay.
She does, well, henna tattoos. Mm-hmm. She organized a couple of events, like in parks, like St. Vital Park or so,
okay,
for people to come and get their henna done. She did like a Mother's Day special. So I'm really impressed with her trying to make this actually work. And I'm hoping that other people within the challenge will find inspiration, motivation, mm-hmm, through what she's doing. I certainly want to keep going and try harder based on her story so far.
Okay.
And that was kind of one of the ideas behind the $10 business challenge too. It wasn't just to start a business, but to kind of motivate other people that were in the challenge to keep going, even when it's when it gets a little rough.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to still see a lot of the people that haven't done anything yet actually get into it a little more.
Okay. Let's, we started talking about music. Actually, I jumped into it. I was just too excited to talk about Final with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got into it right away before getting into anything biographical. But back into the music thing for a second. I'm just curious to know about favorite bands or favorite artists or anything of yours.
Oh, too many to list. I listen to anything, really. First piece of music I bought was by Depeche Mode.
Okay.
This was actually still in Germany.
Depeche Mode's big in Germany?
They're huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't really know if they're that big here. I just listen to them. I still do.
They're, it depends on how you define big. I guess it depends on what crowd you run with.
Right.
I ran with a very big 80s crowd when, okay, I was in university, and some of whom were into, like, I guess it would have been considered alternative.
Okay.
And lots of Depeche Mode, lots of Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah.
Lots of, what should we call it, New Order.
New Order, yeah.
You know, all of that. And actually, personally, I was more into, when I like, say, the 80s, I like pretty much the mainstream.
Okay, stuff. Yeah.
But, obviously, are very aware of at least the, you know, the stuff that everybody would know by those bands.
Right.
Yeah. But in Germany, this is the,
they
this
are,
is the shit, right?
Oh, yeah, they're huge. but, yeah, I remember, like, we had a music teacher. This was, like, in grade 5 or so. He would encourage us to bring in our favorite songs, like, once a month, and we'd play them all. And at the end, we'd vote on our favorite song.
Okay.
And then we'd play that song again. But I remember someone brought in Depeche Mode, Everything Counts, live. and I had never heard anything like it before. And it just got me right away. I was just hooked. And I remember going out the very next day and actually buying that, the 7-inch Everything Counts live. Mm-hmm.
And you're lucky, by the way. When I was in, when I was in junior high and I went to French immersion, they made us listen to Rock Voisin, who is...
To what?
Rock Voisin, who is, I mean, if you're in Quebec, you know who Rock Voisin,
okay,
is. He would be like, you know, Celine Dion would have been like big in Quebec before she burst nationwide. Rock Voisin would be the male version, but he's pretty much contained to Quebec. But we got to hear him because I went to French immersion. So I think you win the battle of what your teachers made, yeah, you listen to. No offense, I mean, to Rock Voisin fans.
I mean, no, I guess not. I'm gonna have to Google this and YouTube this later. But I was actually really lucky because I still listen to Depeche Mode to this day. Mm-hmm. They just brought out a record last year, I think it was Delta Machine, mm-hmm, which was, I would say, probably one of their best so far.
And they would have, I would imagine, that over the years they've stayed pretty true to vinyl and putting out vinyl releases, or
they did actually. I guess just because, like, a lot of club DJs would play their stuff, right?
Yeah.
It, like, I don't have, I just bought vinyl now, like, I think last year I started getting back into Depeche Mode's vinyl. But yeah, that's one band that stayed with me ever since. So it's like, what, 80, 88, 89. Yeah. So
you're coming up on 30 years of Depeche Mode.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big, big day. I don't know. There are actually a lot of bands from that time that I started listening to. The Cure, I still listen to this day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other bands that I listened to at the time, like OMD, Tears for Fears or so. I don't really listen to a whole lot these days anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And after that period, Nevermind happened and everything changed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We started listening to grunge, of course.
That happened to you too?
It happened to me too. Yeah. Loved Nirvana. All the bands that just kind of happened at the same time.
What was that whole movement like? Like being in Germany when grunge kind of breaks?
I think, yeah, it's kind of weird seeing like a bunch of Germans wearing flannel shirts. But aside from that, I'm pretty sure it was very similar to what you had here, except that you wouldn't have had a chance to see them small,
mm-hmm.
growing. But I guess that too happened so fast that they just became huge overnight. So I guess it wouldn't have been that different.
Well, it's funny. If you take a trip to Seattle, you can... they have a museum there called the Experience Music Project, which is like kind of like Rock and Roll Hall of Fame West.
Yeah.
They're very focused on Northwestern stuff. And one of the big things that they have are displays of these bills for shows in Seattle in like 1987, 88, 89. And it's just like, oh, Soundgarden and Pearl Jam are just playing at the club. You know, it's $5, you know, Nirvana's playing. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it just kind of blows you away that there was an opportunity at one point to see them in such a setting.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny too that you have all those bands that were like locally somewhat close, I guess, like mm-hmm. making it huge. I mean, of course, it was a lot of like record companies pushing them, but mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of those bands did deserve the attention they were getting. I mean, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, and then some of the smaller ones that never made it that big, like Mudhoney mm-hmm. or Melvins. Like a lot of really, really great music that came out at the time. But that changed what I started listening to as well. So I listened to that, and I got into like a lot of more just general like alternative stuff, like Sonic Youth. I,
mm-hmm.
to this day, just love Daydream Nation. I bought last year on vinyl, and that's like my prized possession.
Nice.
That is my absolute like favorite record, and I still listen to that nonstop.
I'm just trying to think who would be. You mentioned David Hasselhoff from Germany. Music wise, what's kind of worldwide stuff that's German?
Nothing that good that I would want to brag about, uh-huh. but yeah, Scorpions, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Falco, but he's Austrian, really. Kraftwerk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Kraftwerk, I love Kraftwerk. that should have been the first band I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Forget Scorpions. Kraftwerk.
I don't remember anything specifically. I had a very brief period of time, and I bet you this is about 10 years ago, where I was, like, downloading... like Krautrock, or at least listening to it, but I don't remember any of it. Were you ever into any of that?
No.
No?
I listened to...
Like, not really heavy stuff, like more, I don't know, I can't even name somebody, but like it had more of a like a rock edge to it as opposed to like a metal edge or a death metal edge or whatever, but I wish I could remember some of it.
There are some bands that I never really got into, so I can't really, I'm not really sure if those are the type of bands that you're talking about, but he had like mm-hmm. Neu and, I can't even think of any other ones, but, they did have like a big, like, cult rock, scene going mm-hmm. for a while, but I think that was a little before my time, and, I definitely didn't listen to any of that.
No.
No.
Is Nina from...
Yes, she is.
I mean? Yeah.
That's okay. A good... That's... Okay, I like that one song,
do you know... Can you sing the lyrics to 99 Luftballons?
No.
Is that German?
I can't.
Is that German?
She had two versions. She re-recorded it.
I remember... I knew both versions. I used to find it funny because when I go to 80s night, they play the German version. And someone would be singing along with it. And I'd be like, what are you singing? Are you singing German? Do you know German? No? I'm like, what are you singing? Yeah.
That hasn't stopped him. Like, Hasselhoff, he actually has a couple German songs.
Oh, yeah?
And when he's singing them, you can tell he doesn't really speak German. But he just kind of, I guess, memorized them phonetically.
Is Hasselhoff to Germany kind of like what Celine Dion is to Canada, where it's like, everybody knows that she's from here, but a lot of Canadians will be like, yeah, we're really sorry about that.
Kind of like, well, he's not German, right? So we just kind of made him what he is today. But I really have no clue how that career took off and why he has the standing that he does, but he's huge in Germany, I guess. Like, I haven't really heard any of his new stuff, so I don't know what he's been up to lately.
Have you been back since you moved here?
No, I haven't.
Any plans to visit again, or?
It would be kind of nice to see, like, I still have an uncle. I have some family in Germany. It would be kind of nice to see them. Some of my friends, the ones that I still keep in touch with, would be nice. It would be kind of nice seeing how things have changed, because I do every now and then come across a picture and think, oh, that looks different. That never used to be there. So it would be kind of nice going back and seeing how that city too has evolved and changed.
Okay. This podcast always comes back around to Twitter, because that's where it was born from. So just in general, and you mentioned social media is something that you have an interest in. How do you how do you find kind of daily interactions on Twitter? What do you enjoy the most about?
I go through phases where, like, I kind of, like, right now I'm a little more into Instagram than I am into Twitter. But what I love about Twitter is what I learn about the city, which is kind of the reason why I started the account to begin with. So I haven't been tweeting as much as I have in the past, but like I said, it comes and goes, so I will start tweeting again soon. But I just love learning what people are doing or things that are coming up, and that's why I love Twitter, like my personal account there.
And what do you, like, in terms of what you try to contribute to the Twitter scene, what do you...
I do a lot of walking.
Yeah.
I take a lot of pictures. So I will post, like, pictures of posters that I come across for events that are coming up. If I know of an event that I think might be of interest to people, I tweet about it. Even if I don't really plan on going myself, but I think it's important that people see... all the things Winnipeg has to offer, and then support it in turn.
Okay. I guess you'll be tweeting a lot during the Fringe.
Yeah, so be warned. There will be an onslaught of tweets and pictures and whatnot coming up. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds fun, though. Christmas is, what, 3 weeks away?
3 weeks away for 2 weeks. It's going to be glorious.
Perfect. Do you want to give one more plug again for the $10 business challenge? Is it...
Yes. Like, originally it was going from April to December, but I don't want people to not give it a try, even if they didn't register. I think it would be really cool to see what people can do with $10. So if you want to go out and invest $10 in something, please let me know. Please share, like, all your efforts. I would love to tweet and blog about them. Just, yeah, do something. Just try and be creative.
Have you ever seen those challenges, too, where people will, like, start with a paperclip and they'll try to barter their way up to a car?
That was kind of, like, that's impressive, right? Yeah. But that was kind of, like, one of the things that inspired the challenge, that, you know what, you can start small and you can build it into something really, really amazing. Maybe a house, who knows?
Yeah.
But that is actually really amazing that people can do that.
Perfect. Okay, so that's the $10 business challenge. Search it out online and you'll find it. If you go over to your Twitter account at Kopiezero, K-O-P-I-E-Z-E-R-O on Twitter and on Instagram, you'll find information. I'm sure if someone wants to get in touch with you directly, that's not a problem either.
Please do. I love meeting new people.
Perfect. And so David Zonenschein. Sonnenschein?
Sonnenschein, yeah. Means sunshine.
That makes total sense. Yeah, when I was practicing it earlier, I was like, Sonnenschein, right?
Yeah.
Sonnenschein. Perfect. Thank you very much for joining me on Beyond the Handle today.
Thank you for having me.
There you go.
So there you have it. That was my interview with David Sonnenschein. On Twitter, you can find him at Kopiezero, K-O-P-I-E-Z-E-R-O. And really makes me look forward to the Fringe Festival. We're about 3 weeks away. As you heard in the show, it's something that I've only really gotten into in the last few years, but I really enjoy myself and recommend to all of you here in Winnipeg to check it out, especially if it's something you haven't done before. I think you'll be surprised at how much life it brings to the Exchange District and finding venues in the city that you would have never imagined existed. It's something that you should see and experience at least once, so try to do that coming up in July. The music for today's show was provided by a band called Love, Hippies, and Gangsters. The track is called Through Your Mind, and the album is Sun Over Babaluma. They can be found, as with most bands, on Beyond the Handle, over on Bandcamp, so go and give them a listen as well. So thanks everybody again for listening to Beyond the Handle, and have a great week.